Morning. Today's daf in Pesachim Kuf Aleph. We are here in the 10th parak of Masechta. We're coming off the first Mishnah. First Mishnah talked about not eating on Erev Pesach so that you have an appetite for the Seuda that night. You're going to be eating matzah and Bizman Beis HaMikdash Pesach as well, Karm Pesach. And you want to develop an appetite for those. So there is a there's legislation passed by the Chachamim that one's not allowed to eat already Samach L'Mincha, as you're half an hour away from Mincha Ketani, so you have to stop eating. This is the halacha that was established in the Mishnah, and we spent yesterday discussing whether or not our Mishnah is subscribing to the sheet of Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda. And the approach that the Gemara seems to have landed on is that our Mishnah is following the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. That's Rav Huna's approach, and that seems to be the most defendable approach. Good, so that means to say that according to Rav Yossi, despite the fact that on a standard Erev Shabbos, an Erev and Erev Yontif, so you're allowed to eat, and you're allowed to eat the entire afternoon. Again, I'll repeat, it's not prudent to do so, but you're allowed to. But when it comes to Erev Pesach, so there you have to stop. You have to stop 3 hours prior to sunset, as per our Mishnah, and that is Shitas Rav Yossi. We also touched on another issue yesterday, and that's the halacha of mafsikin. Let's say you started your meal beheter. You started your meal earlier than Mincha Ketana. Let's say 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you started your meal. And so it's totally beheter. So now the meal continues into Yontif. So do you have to stop your meal? So that's also machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, which we went over yesterday. Rabbi Yossi is of the position that ain mafsikin, there's no need to stop. And the meal could just carry right into Shabbos, right into Yontif. There's no problem whatsoever. It sounds like, and this is the way the Rashbam says it, that what's going to happen is that the meal is going to transform into your Yontif meal, into your Shabbos meal. And then what you'll do afterwards, says Rav Yossi, is then you'll bench, and then afterwards you'll make Kiddush. Good. That cheats Rav Yossi. Obviously a really novel position, but that cheats Rav Yossi. Meanwhile, Rav Yehuda says, no, Shabbos comes in, so you gotta stop. Stop meaning you gotta bench, and then you'll make Kiddush, and then you'll start a meal anew, in honor of Shabbos or in honor of Yontif. That cheats Rav Yehuda. Where does the halacha land? So that was the excitement of yesterday's daf. So the halacha lands somewhere in between, somewhere in the middle between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda, and that was brought to us by Rav Yehuda Mishmol. Rav Yehuda Mishmol says, "Pareis mapa mekadesh." So you're not going to stop totally. You're not going to not stop. So you're going to do something in the middle. You're going to take a cover. You're going to put it over the food. A pareis mapa umekadesh, and you'll make kiddush. Good. That's the sheet of Rav Yehuda Mishmol, and that in fact is the halacha. That was yesterday's discussion, and then. At the end, we started with the minhag of saying Kiddush and Shul on Friday night. Right? Yesterday, we touched on quickly, the Gemara touched on it, on this idea of covering your food. And not only did we do it in the case where you started your meal before Shabbos, but you also do it on every Erev Shabbos, you're going to be covering your food. Right? The Gemara said in yesterday's daf, you're covering your food on every Erev Shabbos. And the reason why you're doing so, so the Gemara never explicitly states, but we went through three different reasons amongst the Rishonim why it is that you're covering your food, specifically your bread, but could be all your food on Friday night. So we quoted the Sheoltos yesterday, the Rashbam did, and Tosos. We quoted the Sheoltos yesterday that says that you're covering your food because really fundamentally the table shouldn't have even come out before the meal. So that you're going to make Kiddush. Now you've acknowledged Shabbos is here. Now the food is coming out. Liyikara de Shabbos, to honor the Shabbos. That's the Sheoltos. Now that the food is out there, so you cover it. Now you make Kiddush, and voila. Now the food is appearing. Lekavod Shabbos. That was the Sheoltos. Tosos quotes another reason why we cover the food. Zeich l'man. It reminds us of the man. And other reasons brought down in the Rishonim is because it upsets the normal rules of brachos. Normally we make hamotzi, and then we make a bor priya gafen tonight, on Friday night, and yontif we're making a bor priya gafen followed by hamotzi, so therefore cover the bread. Okay, so three different reasons, and as I mentioned briefly yesterday, I'm going to mention even more briefly today, and there are going to be a lot of nafka minutes based on these reasons that are given in terms of why we cover the bread. Then, what we covered yesterday, is we cover this idea of there's a minute to say kiddush and shul, and what's the point of making kiddush and shul? And the Gemara said, okay, let's talk about what the point may be. So according to Rav, the point would be is that you're going to be yosei kiddush. In other words, even if you're not going to eat in shul, even though you're going to go home, Rav's of the position that there's no requirement of kiddush b'makom seuda. So Rav says, good, so you won't have to make kiddush when you get home. That's the point of making kiddush and shul. And then according to Rav, what about you having a new cup of wine when you get home? Oh, so for that, you're going to have to make a new bar priya gafen. right? Yedei yayin lo yatsa, yedei kiddush yatsa. That was the opinion of Rav. Shmuel says, no, 0 for 2. It's not going to help you with your kiddush, and it's not going to help you with your brichas hayayin. It's not going to help you with your kiddush because Shmuel says you need kiddush b'makam se'uda. And you're making kiddush in shul, and then you go home, that's not kiddush b'makam se'uda. So therefore, it doesn't help you with your kiddush. It also doesn't help you with your yayin. Meaning, according to Shmuel, much like Rav, the fact that you went from now shul to home, that's a new location, you're going to have to make a new bori pri agafen. Later this morning, we're going to talk more about this idea of shinui makom. And its requirement, it facilitates and it necessitates the to make another bracha. But anyway, that is that shita Shmuel. And so the Gemara now then asked the question, which we did, we went over this yesterday. So good. So according to Shmuel, then what exactly is the point of making kiddush and shul? There's this minhag of making kiddush and shul. So then what would be the point? So Shmuel's position is you're right for the people going home. So it absolutely accomplishes nothing. You're absolutely right. But but there are people passing through town. There are guests that are staying in shul. And for the guests that are staying in shul, so for them, they're going to need to hear kiddush. So at least for them, there's a need, there's a requirement for, to say kiddush in shul. Okay. And that's where we got to yesterday. We're on Kuf Aleph, Amud Aleph. And we are right now about 5 lines from the top of the Amud. Immediately after the Gemara's answer, La'afuke orchim yideh chavasim da'achlu v'shasu v'ganu b'vei kenishta. So our guests who are eating, drinking, and sleeping in the shul, so for them, kiddush is going to be helpful. Good. So I mentioned briefly yesterday, but it's a good starting point for today. So these guests that are staying in shul, so what are they doing? They're eating, they're drinking, they're sleeping in shul. So those are activities you're not allowed to do in shul. And so Tosfos raises this this very issue. Tosfos, third Tosfos on the Amud, Da'achlu v'shasu v'ganu b'vei kenishta. V'im Tomar, Tosfos asks, V'hamrin b'perek b'nei ha'ir. This is now the fourth perek of Megillah. Bate kenesios, ein ochlem b'hem, v'ein shosim b'hem. Afa gav de'achila v'shia shal mitzvah mutter. Now, there are certain things that you're allowed to do in shul, achila v'shia, achila and shia of mitzvah. So Tosfos says, for example, Kedamrin b'yushami, shayu ochlem sham b'kiddush ha'chodesh. V'gam achshav noagim lishos kos havdalah ubris mila. So the seuda for kiddush hachodesh. Okay, so that's something that we're not knowing anymore. But when you're making havdalah and shul, that's a mitzvah. So obviously you have to drink and a bris mila where the brachas are made over a cup of wine. So that you're going to drink. So good. So that's mitzvah. Mikom makom she'eino shel mitzvah v'she'eino aser. But if it's a seuda that is eino shel mitzvah. Now, it's really interesting, by the way, Tosfos over here clearly puts the Shabbos meal under the category of a Seuda She'eino Shel Mitzvah. Okay, again, this is a bit of a delicate balance, meaning eating on Shabbos, could we qualify that as a mitzvah? Now, yes or no, meaning it certainly falls under the category of Oneg Shabbos, right? There's a mitzvah of Oneg, there's Kavod V'Oneg, two fundamental mitzvahs, as it relates to Shabbos, when the Rambam categorizes the mitzvahs of Shabbos, so he says that there are two mitzvahs min haTorah zachar v'shamor, right? The remembering of Shabbos, kiddush, shamor, the shmir of Shabbos, not to do malachas. So those are two mitzvahs min daraisa when it comes to Shabbos, and then there's kavod v'oneg, the honoring of Shabbos. That's how we're going to appear on Shabbos, how we're going to look, the dress that we're going to do, and oneg, the enjoyment of Shabbos. The enjoyment of Shabbos is eating. So if you eat on Shabbos, is that a mitzvah? Yes or no? Meaning, yes, it's a fulfillment of the mitzvah of oneg, but no, the eating itself is not a mitzvah, right? In contradistinction to, let's say, for example, matzah. Eating matzah is a mitzvah, but eating on Shabbos per se is not the mitzvah, but you are fulfilling oneg. Okay, so over here, so Tosfos says, so if that's the case, so then eating in shul should be prohibited. And certainly sleeping in shul is going to be prohibited as well. So, okay, and then Tosfos goes on from there. V'yei shlomer, but if you just drop to the end of Tosfos, d'lav davka bei kenishta ela chadarm shayu smuchim lebeis ha'kenises kari bei kenishta. So Tosfos says, yeah, they're not sleeping in the main sanctuary. They're not eating in the main sanctuary. The kiddush room, right? Our shul has a kiddush room, and I venture a guess that pretty much every shul has got a kiddush room, meaning a room off to the side. It's not the main sanctuary, and there you're going to be making kiddush, so and eating and sleeping. Okay, that's Tosfos' understanding, right? But then, of course, it touches on, and Tosfos acknowledges It touches on the fact that that's not exactly Kiddush B'Makom Seuda, meaning the room is off to the side, but it's in the same building. Okay, good. Obviously, much more to discuss on that issue, but that's a basic issue. Okay, and now it affords us the ability now to start today's daf. Azdo Shmuel Atameh. Shmuel now is consistent with his raising damer. Shmuel ain't Kiddush Ela B'Makom Seuda. So Kiddush has to be B'Makom Seuda. So there is this requirement that Shmuel teaches us. Obviously, Rav does not subscribe to it, but there is this requirement of having Kiddush B'Makom Seuda that when you make Kiddush, it has to be in the same location as where you're going to have the meal. And if you don't have a meal in the place where you make Kiddush, so it's no good. What's no good? Presumably your Kiddush is no good. Okay. Now, what the Gemara never touches is why. Why is there this requirement of Kiddush B'Makom Seuda? So, the Rashbam over here is fundamental, in terms of giving us a reason, actually two reasons why it is that you need Kiddush B'Makom Seuda. Let's see the Rashbam inside. It's the top Rashbam on the Amud. Afi de Kiddush al Yasik de Bershit in time of day, lekame ain Kiddush ela B'Makom Seuda. So Kiddush has to be B'Makom Seuda. So the Rashbam here is going to give us two reasons why. Number one, based on the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, at the end of Sefer Yeshayahu, the Karasal Shabbos Oneg. Okay, so this is the source in Navi that talks about Oneg Shabbos, right? Remember just a couple of moments ago, I told you the way the Rambam organizes the mitzvahs of Shabbos. So there are two min HaTorah, Zachar V'Shamor, and there are two Medivrei Nevi'im, and that's covered by Oneg. Good. So this is now the pasuk in Yeshayahu that talks about Oneg. The Karas L'Shabbos Oneg, B'makom Sha'ata Kore L'Shabbos, so the place where you call Shabbos, meaning where we identify Shabbos, Kriya de Kiddush, that's a reference to Kiddush, Sham Tehe Oneg. It's in that very location that you need Oneg. U'medrashu, and the Rashbam says that's a drasha. So number one, it could be a drasha, says the Rashbam. Now, granted, a drasha based on Nevi'im, not a drasha min HaTorah, so you could certainly make the argument that this is not a din d'oraisa, it's a din d'rabbanan. Regardless, the point is that it's a drasha. That's the first reason given by the Rashbam. The second reason given by the Rashbam, inami svarihi. So alternatively, it could be that it's a svara. Mi de'ikve kiddush al hayayin, because we know that kiddush is to be made over wine. Kid da'amrin lakaman. This is going to be based on the Gemara. We're going to see a couple days from now, several days from now. Zochreu al hayayin, that we know that there's a mitzvah to say kiddush. That mitzvah of kiddush is min HaTorah. To articulate and pronounce that the day today is Shabbos. So that's a mitzvah min HaTorah. How about kiddush over a cup of wine? So that is a drasha. Is that a drasha gemura? Is it an asmachta? Okay, we could wait till we get to Kufav, and I'll discuss that issue in somewhat more detail. Anyway, but it's a drasha. Zochreu alayayin. So the Chachamim said that when you say Kiddush, you have to do so over a cup of wine. And now, what's the svara? Mistama alayayin, shebishas asuda hukva dechashiv. Now, what cup of wine? Stam, a regular cup of wine? No. The wine that's associated with the meal. Meaning that when the Chachamim were misaking Kiddush over a cup of wine, it simply means wine that we plan on eating over the course of the meal. So that means to say that really the takana of Kiddush is Kiddush together with wine together with the meal. It's a svara. It's a reasonable argument that one can make. So the Rashbam over here affords two reasons as to why it is that there's this requirement to Kiddush B'Makom Seuda, either a drasha based on the pasuk in Yeshayahu, or based on an argument that Mistama the Chachamim instituted Kiddush to be done over the wine that comes in conjunction with the meal. And then there is a lengthy discussion to be had. We're not going to have it in terms of the lamdus behind these two reasons that are given over here. A question of whether or not Kiddush B'Makom Seuda is more a function of the Seuda that needs Kiddush to go around it, or is it more a function of Kiddush that needs the Seuda to go around it? Meaning, what's the ikar? What is really the driving force of this halacha? Okay, good. And an important discussion, a lumdus discussion. But meanwhile, we get to go on in the Gemara. So this is the halacha of Shmuel. that you need kishba makam suda. Savar mina, we continue now in the Gemara. Savar mina hanimili mi bais labayis. So that's true if I'm going from one house to another house of almi makam makam bechad beis alo, but going from one location to another location. So then there wouldn't be this requirement. Amalu Rav Anan bar tachlifa. So Rav Anan bar tachlifa comes to clarify, and he gives episodic evidence. Zimnin se'in, there were many times, havakim nekame deshmol, that we were in front of Shmuel v'nachas me'igra la'ara, and we went from the second floor to the first floor, from the balcony, or from whatever, let's say, the second floor of the first floor, v'hadu mekadesh, and you would make kiddush anew. So in other words, so we're talking about just simply changing floors, and we're in the same building, and yet the requirement is that that was not a fulfillment of kiddush b'makam suda, and therefore, he made a new kiddush. Now, it is a bit of a curiosity. I'll just add over here that this happened many times, right? That's the way it's reported. Meaning, it's kind of difficult to understand. Meaning, if Shmuel knows that for whatever reason food is not going to be served or offered on the second floor, so then why do you make kiddush on the second floor and then only to have to come down again and to make kiddush on the first floor again? That is a bit of a curiosity, and I don't fully understand that, but nevertheless, though, the point that the Gemara is making is very clear, is that even though it is in the same house, but it's different floors in the same house, that is a failure of Kiddush B'Makam Seuda, and so even when you're moving from one floor to another, that's still going to be considered Kiddush B'Makam Seuda. Now, V'af Rav Huna Savrein Kiddush Ala B'Makam Seuda, and now what we're going to do together in the Gemara is we're going to string a number of Amoraim, who are on Team Shmuel. Shmuel's of the position that Kiddush has to be Makam Suda. This is against the opinion of Rav that we started off our daf with today. And the Gemara now notes that there are numerous Amoraim who are siding with Shmuel. So Rav Huna Savrein Kiddush Elaba Makam Suda, the Rav Huna Kash. So what happened is that Rav Huna made Kiddush V'it Agrele Shraga. And then, the fire went out, meaning there was no longer any light. And so what did he do? So he took his kalim, that's his money, and he went to the Bey Ganani, the chasna of his son. Right? Chasna over here probably not to mean the actual chasna itself, but it just simply means, right, the new home of his son. There was light. V'kaddish v'tamidi. He had to make kiddush anew because the kiddush that he made in his own home didn't count. Why didn't it count? Because it wasn't b'makam seuda. So now we see from this episode that Rav Huna also subscribes to the viewpoint of Ein Kiddush Ela B'Makam Seuda. More, V'af Rabba Savrein Kiddush Ela B'Makam Seuda. Rabba's also of the position of that there's this requirement of Kiddush B'Makam Seuda. And by the way, generationally, we're going in a chronology over here. Meaning we started with Shmuel, that's first generation Amora. Then we went to Rav Huna, a student of Rav. That's the second generation. Now we're up to Rabba. Okay, we'll call a third generation. I may be off, but you understand we're going in chronology from the earlier to the later generations. So Abaye says, when I was by the house of my master, and we know that Abaye was a Talmud Muvak of Rabba. So when I went to the house of my master, ki hava mikadesh, amrlan timamidi. So we would go by the Rebbe on Shabbos. Let's assume it's Shabbos morning. It's not clear. Shabbos night, Shabbos morning. Anyway, so we would go by him and he give very clear instructions, meaning you're going to hear my kiddush and make sure to eat. You're going to eat here at the house before you go back to your, whoever's hosting you. So Dilma ad azlisu l'ushpiza, because you're going to go back to your host. Remember back in the day and this minute continued for century, millennia. So when you have the Bnei Yeshiva are hosted by families in the community. And so what Rabbi says is that when you're visiting me, when you're stopping by me, you're going to hear my kiddush, you're going to eat by me. Cause here's what I'm worried about. You're going to go home to your host and mitagrelu chushraga. So, and what's going to happen is that by the time you get back home to your host, they're going to finish with their meal. Their lights are going to go out and you're not going to eat over there. And you're not going to make kiddush over there in the beis achila, in the place where you're eating. Perfectly not clear why they're not going to be able to make kiddush because the lights went out. They couldn't say kiddush by heart. That part's not clear. Anyway, but I'm worried that you're not going to say kiddush when you're by your host. Uvi kiddusha dahachalo nafkisu dein kiddush ala b'makam suda. And if all you did was just hear kiddush by me, but you didn't eat by me, so you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of kiddush because kiddush has to be b'makam suda. So clearly by Rabbah's instructions to his Talmud Abaye, and to really all of his students, so we see that Rabbah also subscribed to this idea of Ein Kiddush Ela B'Makom Suda, that the Kiddush has to be B'Makom Suda. So now we've just strung together the opinions of Shmuel, Rav Huna, Rabbah, all are of the opinion that Kiddush has to be B'Makom Suda. Eni, the Gemara says, now wait one second. Is this true? Meaning, is this really the Shita of Rabbah, V'Amar Abaye? Don't we have the following statement that we learned, B'Shem Abaye, Kol Mili Damar, Hava Avid Karav, that my master Rabbah, so he was always a Ravnik, he always went like Rav. Labar Mehani Tlas Avid Kishmol, there are only three areas of Machlokas, of Rav and Shmuel, where my Rebbe, this is Abaye talking, where my Rebbe Rabbah sides like Shmuel, but his default position is that he always goes like Rav. Now those three halachas in which he goes like Shmuel, Matir Mi Begel Abeged, you're allowed to take strings from one beged, meaning tzitzit strings from one beged, and move them over to another beged that's not considered a bizayon. Madlikim miner laner, you can light Chanukah lights without using a shamish, light from one ner directly to another ner, and that's not also not considered a bizayon. V'alachikar Rabbi Shimon Megreira, detanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, gorer adam mita kisev estafsal, bishabbos v'vavashal is kavin lasos chritz. And the third halacha is davar she'eino miskaven. You're dragging a bench along the grass. It may make a groove in the ground, it may not. So this is now, and you have no intention of doing so. You just simply want to get the bench from point A to point B. The groove that it makes in the ground is incidental, and it is not inevitable. So this is a classic example of a davar she'eino miskaven. What is the halacha by davar she'eino miskaven and Shabbos when I'm not intending to violate? So the halacha is, that it's a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's aser, and Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. Shmuel sides with Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbah says, in this regard, I'm going to go like Shmuel. Okay, but it's only these examples, and only these three machloksim, where Rabbah goes like Shmuel, not like Rav, which means that throughout the rest of Halacha, so Rabbah's going to be going like Rav. And that now confuses us. Because we just learned together that Rabbah subscribes to Kiddush B'Makom Suda, which is a Shmuel halacha, not a Rav halacha, and it's not one of the three. So the Gemara's response is, Kechomer deRav Hava Avid, Kekula deRav Lo Hava Avid. So the Gemara says, wait one second. No, you misunderstood. That when Rabbah subscribes to the halachas of Rav, that's all by chomras. Meaning whenever there's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And whenever Rav is a machmir, it's on that area of halacha that Rabbah is always going to subscribe like Rav, with three notable exceptions, where he's going to be makel like Shmuel. Fine. But in any other area of halacha, where Shmuel's a machmir, so there Rabbah is not committed. Rabbah can go like Rav, he can go like Shmuel. So over here in this area of halacha, of Kiddush B'Makom Suda, Shmuel's a machmir. Shmuel says that the only way Kiddush works is only when there is Suda, that comes together with the Kiddush. Otherwise, it simply does not work. Okay, good. So this is that was all an explanation of Rabbah. So the Gemara's conclusion is that there is no stira within the sheet of Rabbah. Yes, Rabbah normally follows like Rav, but that's by chumras. But when Shmuel spouses a chumra like over here, so Rabbah would be more than fine going like the sheet of Shmuel. What comes out from the entire discussion, Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, is that you need Kiddush B'Makom Suda. So there is a sheet of Rav, and it's funny. We normally do Pascha like Rav in Halacha by Yisurim. But over here, so we have just, we've just strung together three Amorayim, who do not subscribe to the sheet of Rav, notably Shmuel, Rav Huna, and Rabbah, all subscribing to this idea that you need Kiddush B'Makom Suda. Good. And that's the Halacha. The Halacha is that ain't Kiddush Ella B'Makom Suda. There needs to be Kiddush B'Makom Suda. There is a lot of halacha to discuss over here. I'll just touch on one issue which comes up here in Tosfos, but there's many areas of this halacha that are going to go unexplored in the course of the Daf Yomi, because we're here to finish the Daf, and right now we're just getting the basics in terms of the halacha. In order to fulfill this mitzvah, this halacha of Kiddush B'Makom Suda, so what must the Suda consist of? So does it have to be bread? Can it be mizonos? Can it be fruit? Can it be just a shahakol? So what exactly does the Suda need to be? So if we didn't have any more information other than the Gemara was given to us, so you would think that Suda usually means a Shabbos meal, meaning with bread, maybe even lechem mishnah, Suuda, then a Suuda Shabbos, meaning how many meals are we supposed to have on Shabbos? Gimel Suudo, so you have to have three meals. So you would think that that what you need to have is bread. On the other hand, even if all I had was just simply the Gemara that I had to work with, let's go back to a line that we read just moments earlier, where Rabbi says to his Talmud, Abaye, hey, you know what? Before you go back to your host, I want you to do something. Te'imu midi, I want you to taste a little bit before you go home. Now, taste a little bit, what does that indicate? That seems to indicate that even a snack would satisfy this requirement of Kiddush B'Makom Seuda. That's what it certainly sounds like. So you take a look at Tosfos over here by Te'imu midi, and he writes really clearly, Nira dahainu te'imas lechem. So even though the word te'ima, when you say taste, when we use the term colloquially, so generally speaking, what we're making reference to is a snack, an apple, whatever the case is. So, but Tosha says that's not what the Gemara means when it says te'imu midi. Te'imu midi means te'imas lechem. It means bread. Now, Tosfos over here is conflating really two issues. Meaning, Tosfos assumes that the word Seuda means a meal, meaning a Shabbos meal. And by the first Shabbos meal, Friday night, so that for sure you need bread. And by the second Shabbos meal, that for sure you need bread. The only area where there may be some room of flexibility would be the third meal. Third meal of Shabbos, Tosfos entertains the idea over here. Mini targima. It's a term the Gemara uses. Not easy to translate, but let's just say mizonos food, even though that's not a perfect translation. But let's say like a mizonos, like a cracker or a cookie. So is that gonna work? So Tosfos says maybe for the third meal. So dafka besuda shlishis, he says, aval besuda sarvis v'shachris. That's the ikur kavod Shabbos. So for there. So mini targima doesn't work. But what Tosfos is doing over here is he's really conflating. Meaning the Kiddush B'Makom Seuda, Tosfos assumes means Seuda. It has to be a meal. And then the only issue after that is going to be, is that maybe for the third meal, maybe there could be room for flexibility. Now, we know we make Kiddush for the first meal. We know we make Kiddush for the second meal. We're going to be discussing it in just a little bit from now. Right? What about Kiddush for the third meal? Right, it's perfectly not clear from the Gemara. The Gemara never expresses clearly whether or not there has to be Kiddush for a third meal. Right, a debate amongst the Rishonim whether there needs to be Kiddush for a third meal. From Tosfos over here, by virtue of the fact that he's conflating the issues, you could propose an argument. I'm not saying it's correct, but you could propose an argument that maybe Tosfos also is of the position that Kiddush is made for the third meal, but I'm not sure if that's correct. But certainly what is correct, however, is that Tosfos' position is that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush B'Makom Seuda, it has to be bread, it has to be Seuda. That's Tosfos' position. Okay, and now we know, in other words, we've been practicing Yiddishkeit for a while, so we know that most Kiddushim that occur in Shul, I know it's been a minute since we've had Kiddush in Shul, but most Kiddushim that have been in Shul have been over nut bread, meaning over mizonos foods. And, right, then that's been going on for a very long time. And that means to say that you could already guess, but, right, I'll give you a little more information. And that is that there's the opinion of the Gaonim. The Gaonim are of the position that Kiddush B'Makom Seuda, even if your Seuda is not made up of bread, even if your Seuda is made up of mizonos, that would also be a fulfillment of Kiddush B'Makom Seuda. So there is a range of positions in terms of what Seuda you need in order to fulfill this halach of Kiddush B'Makom Seuda. I quickly showed you Tosfos. There's the Gaonim. Okay, there's a range of positions over there in terms of what is considered a Seuda. Okay, let's pick it up where we left off. We're in Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. We are three lines from the bottom of the Amud. Rav Yochanan Amar Afi Deyayin Nami Yatsu. Rav Yochanan is of the position that when you make Kiddush and Shul, this goes all the way back to the beginning of our discussion this morning, meaning for those making Kiddush and Shul, what does it help? So Rav says it helps you for your Yayin. Rav says it helps you for your Kiddush, but doesn't help you for your Yayin. Shmuel says, nope, doesn't help you for your Yayin, neither for your Yayin nor for your Kiddush. Rav Yochanan says, Af yidei Yayin nami yatsu. Rav Yochanan says it helps you even for your Yayin. The Azar Rav Yochanan Tamin. Now this is Rav Yochanan being consistent. Amar Rav Chanin Bar Abai, Amar Rav Apidas, Amar Rav Yochanan, Echad Shinu Yain VeEchad Shinu Imakom Ein Tzarech Levarech. So as far as Shinu Yain, let's say you change wines, right? You're in the middle of the meal, you finish one bottle, and now you brought a new bottle. So that is not going to require a new Bori Priya Guffin. Same thing with Shinui Makom. You change location. According to Rav Yochanan, you do not need to make a new bracha. So Ein Tzarech Levarech Meis Veis, we're now on the top of the Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second, I have a Braisa. Shinui Makom Tzarech Levarech, Shinui Yain Ein Tzarech Levarech. In the Braisa is really clear. So if you're Mishana Makom, if you change your location, you got to make a new bracha. However, Shinui Yain, but if you change your wine, Ein Tzarech Levarech, you don't have to make a new bracha Bori Priya Guffin. The Bori Priya Guffin that you made over your first wine is going to cover the next wines that you drink over the course of the meal. Good. So Tiyufta de Rav Yochanan. Tiyufta the Gemara says, okay. So Rav Yochanan's position, the Gemara spends very little time discussing the Shitas Rav Yochanan, as Rav Yochanan's position is clearly refuted by the Braisa. Just as a quick comment to make, right? I feel like people know this, but as a quick comment to make, Tosas on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, and as is the Rashbam as well. So both discuss there is a bracha that you're going to make if you're going to have a new wine at the meal. Meaning, even though the Gemara's conclusion is very clear, you're not going to be making a new Bori Priya Guffin. As long as you're in the same location and you have a new wine that comes out over the course of the meal, you're not going to make a new Bori Priya Guffin, but you are going to make another additional bracha, and that's Atov Ametiv. Mio Atov Ametiv Tzarech Levarech, Tosos in the last Tosos in the Amud. So you have to make the bracha of a tova ametiv. This is as per the Gemara at the end of Masechet Brachos, Daf Nun Tes. The Gemara there says that the Chachamim instituted that there are occasions where you're going to be making the bracha of a tova ametiv, right? It's really as per the Mishnah over there at the end of Brachos there in the ninth Perek. And so there are other occasions that facilitate that require the bracha of a tova ametiv, notably when you're having a new bottle of wine. And there's a host of positions, there's a range of positions in terms of when exactly do you make Atov Ametiv. And you can see more here in the Tosfos itself in terms of whether the second bottle of wine has to be superior to that of the first bottle of wine, whether the Atov Ametiv is only said when there are other people that are present. And there are a number of factors that are involved in the bracha of Atov Ametiv. Again, simply scratching the surface, not really doing it in depth. But anyway, but I'll mention it, it's on the daf, this requirement of Atov Ametiv. For the new wine that comes out in the course of a meal. Okay. We are now on Kuf Alpha Mudbez Yosef Rav Idi Bar Avin Kame de Rav Chista Yosef Rav Chista Vikamer Mishmei de Rav Huna Hadam Shinu Makom Tzarech Levarech. So this requirement of Shinu Makom and the idea that you have to make a new bracha for Shinu Makom, you go to a new location, Lo Shanu Elami Bais Abayis, that's only when you're going from one house to another house of Ami Makom La Makom Lo. But if you're just changing locations within a house, so you don't have to make a new bracha. So Amrle Rav Idi Barav and Achi Taninale Bemasisa Debe Rav Hinek Vamrle Bemasisa Debe Bar Hinek Kavasech. So you know it's funny that you say that halacha. We have a braisa. We learned it from one of the Bate Midrashim, either Rav Hinek or Debe Bar Hinek, whatever. We learned it from one of the yeshivas. Ve'ela Rav Huna Masisa Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, okay. So really, I'm a little bit curious about Rav Huna. Rav Huna is saying over this halacha as if he was not knowledgeable about the Braisa. And the Gemara says, that's right. Rav Huna Masisa Lo Shmiele. Yeah, you're right. Rav Huna didn't know about the Braisa. And that's why Rav Huna is saying over the halacha, not having sight of the Braisa, but he didn't know about the Braisa. And as we've said numerous times throughout Shas, it's acceptable for Amoraim not to know Braisas. Not to know Mishnah is unacceptable for Namora. Right? I'd like to say it's unacceptable for us, but I don't know all the Mishnayos, but for the Amoraim, so they knew every Mishnah backwards forward. So for them, that was inexcusable. But for them not to know a Braisa, that was excusable. So Rav Huna didn't know the Braisa. Okay. So we have just learned together that in terms of a Shinui Makom now, to make a new bracha, that's when you're going mi bias from one house to another house. But mi makom a makom, so that's not going to facilitate the making of a new bracha. Okay, from here now until the end of the daf, going into tomorrow's daf, So we're going to be switching gears. Not really. In other words, we're going to be going on the topic of Shinui Makom. But now we have left the world of Kiddush B'Makom Suna, and now we enter into another area, which is really Halach L'Maisa, and that is Shinui Makom. Shinui Makom, this idea that when I change locations, I'm now where it's going to require, it's going to demand that we make a new bracha. So we touched on it in the first half of today's daf. We talked about how when you make Kiddush and Shul, and even if you're the one who drank the wine and Shul, if you make Kiddush and Shul and you go home, so we saw the position of Shmuel, which is that aside from the fact that your Kiddush wasn't good because there's Kiddush B'Makom Suda, but even the bracha of Yayin, so it no longer stays with you. The bracha of Yayin now has gone, and because you've experienced now what's called Shinui Makom, you've changed your location. And as we just clarified in the Gemara, when you're going Mibayis Labayis, when you're going from one house to another house, that's considered a Shinui Makom, and therefore, it's going to demand, it's going to require you to make a new bracha. And so from here now until the end of today's daf, going well into tomorrow's daf, we're going to be discussing this topic of Shinui Makom. This idea that once you change locations, so now that's an Akira, that uproots you now from your original, from your original bracha, and there's a demand that it's going to, that you're going to require, to make a new bracha. The Gemara is going to be discussing this in much greater detail. Visu Yasev Rav Chista, we are now on Kuf Alpha Amud Beis, and we are about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Visu Yasev Rav Chista V'kamer Mishmei Danav Shein. Rav Chista here is quoting himself, meaning previously Rav Chista was quoting in the name of Rav Huna. Now Rav Chista is quoting in his own name. Hadamar Shinu Makom Tzarech Levarach. So we say Shinu Makom, there's this requirement to make a new bracha. So lo amaran ela midvarim she'in tunim bracha l'acharim bimkamam. That's only if it is not a significant food, right? In a moment, I will clarify what that means. That's only if it's not a significant food. Literally, the Gemara translates where I don't need to make the bracha achrona in its original location. But if it's a kind of food where the bracha achrona has to be made in its original location, ein tzarech levarech. So then even though you've experienced Shinui Makom, you do not have to make a new bracha. My taima, why should that be? Lekiv akama hadar. Because what you have done is that basically you have gone back to your previous location, meaning your kvias is still there in the previous location. Okay. Now this position, Rav Chista, let's just explain it a little bit better with some better definitions as well. Meaning that what Rav Chista is basically saying is as follows. The halacha of Shinui Makom basically is this idea that when you leave your original location, so what you're experiencing really is hasach hadas, meaning it now has broken your concentration, your connection between the bracha that you made and the food that you're eating. By you now having stepped out of your house, and let's just say right now simply, it could be very well be that even stepping out of your house is Shinui Makom. But right now, I'll say it nice and simply, just an explanation of the Gemara. You go to your house, you go to your next door neighbor. Good. You come back to your house now, and now you're going to resume eating. Oh, so if it's not a significant food, so basically now what you've done is that you've broken that connection between the bracha and the eating. Shinui Makom has created a hesach hadas. However, what Rav Chista is saying is as follows. If the halacha is demanding that you come back here to make your bracha achrona, meaning it's a significant food, so basically what you are is you're tethered. It's basically as if the halacha now has put a string on you, so that even though you stepped outside your house, you've gone to another location, but the halacha pulling you back to make the bracha achrona, so that tethers you to this location, and so therefore, that maintains your kvias. That's basically what Rav Chista is saying. What foods demand that you have to come back to your original location? So this is going to be a machlokus amongst the Rishonim. But right now, just in a simple explanation of today's daf, I'll present it like the Rashbam, but I'm acknowledging that the Rashbam is not the only opinion on this matter. Dvar matunim bracha l'achrim b'mkomam. You can see me in the Rashbam about 7-8 lines down after the lines start getting wide. So Rashbam dibra hamaskal av dvar matunim bracha l'achrim b'mkomam. He writes, klamar, bracha chashuva b'fnei atzmam. Significant bracha, srichim bimkoman, where the bracha achrona has to be made in the original location. Kigon, shiva saminim, de isbrahu bracha achas me'in shalosh. So for example, any of the shiva saminim. Otherwise, what we call alamichya, or alagefen, or alha'etz, the bracha achas me'in shalosh. So the condensed form of benching. And it goes without saying, by the way, benching as well, meaning bread as well. So if you're eating bread, if you're eating anything that requires an ala mechya, ala eitz, ala gefen, So for that, so what the halacha demands is that the bracha achrona be said in the same location in which you serve the food. As a result of that, as a consequence of that, as we got done explaining, so since the halacha demands that the bracha achrona has to be done in the original location, so therefore you are tethered to this location, even though you stepped outside, even though you went to another house for a moment, so since halacha demands that you return, if and when you return, not if, but when you return, so you're not going to have to make a new bracha, not a new bracha rishona, certainly not a new bracha achrona, but not a new bracha rishona, because l'kiv'a kama hadar, you return back to your kviyas, the halacha demands so. On the other hand, if you ate an apple, all right, apple doesn't require an alaitz. If you ate an apple, or if you ate a vegetable, or if you had a shahakol, so they are the bari nefashos. And as far as the bari nefashos is concerned, you're not tethered. You don't have to go back to your original location. So therefore, when you step outside, that now cuts off the bracha from the eating that you've done. And even when as you return back to your new location, so that's it. You got to make now a new bracha rishona, because the old bracha rishona simply didn't work. Do I also have to make a bracha achrona? Okay, so you can imagine it happens to be that also is a machlokas as to whether or not a bracha achrona also is required, or is it just simply a new bracha rishona? Anyway, as you can see, by the way, I'm trying to give a really streamlined presentation of Shinui Makom, but there are a number of things that are open for debate. But I'll try to keep it as straightforward as possible. That is all the shita of Rav Chisda. Rav Sheshes, now as we continue in the Gemara, Rav Sheshes disagrees. Rav Sheshes Amar Echad Zevechad Zed Tzarech Levarech. So Rav Sheshes is of the position that both significant and insignificant foods, if you've experienced Shinui Makom, Tzarech Levarech, you have to make a new bracha. And it doesn't matter whether it's a significant or insignificant food, you got to make a new bracha. Okay. And so basically what we have over here is machlokas amarayim, right? You're having a meal, let's say with bread or a mizonos. And for whatever reason, you leave your house for a moment, right? This happens. People are in the middle of the meal and there's an early mincha and they want to go to early mincha. So what they'll do is they'll leave the house and they'll come back afterwards. So do they have to make a new bracha? So Just mind you, I'm just giving an example, but as we'll see in a moment, the halacha gets even a little bit more complicated. But do they have to make a new bracha? So right now, the way the Gemara is presenting it, according to Rav Sheshes, they do. And again, it's not clear in the Gemara according to Rav Sheshes. Both a new bracha rishona and a new bracha achrona, or let me do it the other way. Let me flip that around. Do they have to make a bracha achrona when they come back on the food that they ate? Meaning in the case of bread, do they have to bench and then make a new bracha rishona? Or that's Rav Sheshes, or according to Rav Chisda, no. In other words, since the halacha demanded that they come back, so therefore they were always koveya, even as they left the house, they were still in their kviyas, and therefore they don't have to make another bracha. So as we have it in the Gemara right now, that's the machlokes between Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshes. And here, by the way, if I could just mention briefly, the halacha, and this is not brief, by the way, but I will mention it briefly. So the halacha split on this issue. The Rambam goes like Rav Sheshes, and the Ashkenazic Rishonim, the Rush, and the Ramah goes like Rav Chisda. So on this issue, so there is now a real split in terms of the halacha, in terms of who we follow, like whether we follow like Rav Sheshes or we follow like Rav Chisda. Meitzvei. However, we're going to go on in the Gemara, even though, granted, we did not do enough in terms of explaining the halacha, but hopefully we did enough in terms of explaining the Gemara. Meitzvei, the Gemara now is going to be challenging based on the following braisa. B'nei chabura. So here, we have the following circumstance where you have a group of people, shayim esub and lishtos. So they were all reclining, they were drinking, va'akru raglehem. And then what they did is that they had nakira, meaning they uprooted their legs. Now that's a funny language. The Gemara in a moment is going to pick up on that language. Latzeis likras chasan or likras kala. And why? Because there was a chasan kala. And they wanted to be mesameh chasan mekala, so they quickly left the house, to be mesameh chasan mekala. And kishen yotzin into an embrachel mafre, kishen chosen into an embrachel chatzkila. And when they leave, they don't have to make a bracha. When they come back, they don't have to make another bracha. Meaning they are still anchored in their meal. But, to clarify, that's only if not everybody left. Let's say there was an older person there. Let's say there was a sick person there. The reasons why the examples over here of somebody older sick is because simply it was just, it was not an option for them to get up and be mesameh chasam v'kala. They were just simply not physically able to do so. Either way, in other words, somebody is there remaining in the meal. That person serves as an anchor. However, if let's say everybody in the meal got up and they went out to be mesameh chasam v'kala, so yotzin tun and bracha l'mafreya. So when they go, so they quickly have to make a bracha achrona. And kishen chosin, when they come back, tun and bracha l'chatchila, they have to make a new bracha rishona. Okay, so that is the brisa. So the brisa over here clearly gives us this idea that they leave, they come back, and they leave, they come back, and nobody's there left in the house. So now new brachas are required, and presumably, by the way, on both ends, meaning the bracha achrona is required when they leave, and a bracha rishona is required when they come back. Now the Gemara is going to be medayik in the brisa. Let's read the brisa really carefully. Midiktani akru raglayhem. So the words in the brisa were akira. Now they uprooted. What does that mean? They uprooted. It's as if their feet were like cemented in the ground and they had to uproot it. So mechlal debitvar matuna brachal achrem bemkama maskinan. You know what that means? It means that they were eating significant foods. Meaning that the word akira is like code for they have to come back here anyway. They're tethered. So akira describes that they're eating significant foods. V'tayma de'hinichu sham zakin echola. Who de'kishen yotzen tun ebrach l'mafreya, kishen chozen tun ebrach l'achatchila. Now, even though they were eating significant foods, what is going to give them a pass? What's going to excuse them from having to make additional brachas? Only when they leave somebody in the house, a zakin or echola. But if they left nobody in the house, if everybody picked up and went outside to be mechsameach, chosen and kala, and even though they were eating significant foods, and the reason why we know they're eating significant foods is because it uses the term akru raglehem, it sounds like you still are going to have to make a new bracha achrona, new bracha rishona. Aval lo inichu sham zaken ochola, kishen yotzen tunen bracha l'mafreya, ukishen chosen tunen bracha l'chatchila, and kashya l'Rav Chista. And this is now going to pose a difficulty for Rav Chista, because Rav Chista says that when you're eating significant foods, and even if every single person would have left the house, when you come back, you don't need to make new brachas. Why? L'kiva'a kamahadar. Because you went back to your original kriya, since the halacha demands that you have to come back, so therefore, you have not broken the connection between your bracha and the eating. That's the opinion of Rav Chista, but the brisa, the way we just read the brisa, seems to be going against the sheet of Rav Chista. Not a perfect place to stop, but we're going to stop over here, because this discussion continues well into tomorrow's daf, and so we'll pick it up tomorrow in terms of how the Gemara is going to be defending the position of Rav Chista. Let's quickly recap our daf today. We started off with the minhag of making kiddush and shul. I mentioned quickly yesterday, I'll just mention quickly today on the review, already going back to the time of the Rishonim, a lengthy discussion of whether or not this minhag should be knocked out, or we should continue this minhag. This minhag of making kiddush and shul, the Gemara says, according to Shmuel, it doesn't help you at all. But Shmuel says at least for the guests in shul, it does help out. We don't have guests in shul, meaning there are people that travel through town, but they're not staying in shul, they're not eating in shul, and they go to people's houses. All right. Hopefully, there's achnas zorchim going on in the community. So they go to people's house. They don't need in shul. So should this minute continue or should it not continue? So already the Rishonim struggle with this very question. I mentioned yesterday. I'll mention it again today. The tour was already of the position that he didn't like the minhag, meaning in the time of the Gemara, good. It helped the people in shul, but nowadays we don't have people eating in our shul, not even off in the rooms to the side. The tour wanted to do away with the minhag. The Shulchan Aruch writes that in Eretz Yisrael, it's simply not the minhag. The minhag is not to say kiddush in shul. Okay, but this minhag is obviously a really old minhag. It's mentioned in the Gemara, and many shuls still continue to perpetuate the minhag. Okay, so, right, it's an old controversy in terms of whether or not this minhag should continue or not continue. Okay, anyway, good. I just mentioned it briefly. But the lengthy discussion that we had in the first part of today's daf is that if you make a kiddush and shul and you go home, so did you fulfill the mitzvah of kiddush? So Rav said yes, because according to Rav, there's no requirement of kiddush b'makom seuda. But meanwhile, Shmuel's of the position that no, because Shmuel introduced to us this idea, today's daf kuf aleph, that there has to be kiddush b'makom seuda, that kiddush has to be in the place that you eat. And since Kiddushas and Shul and your suit is at home, so that's not Kiddush B'makam Seuda. So therefore, it didn't help you in terms of your mitzvah of Kiddush. This is not only the position of Shmuel, it's also the position of Rav Huna. It's also the position of Rabbah that you require Kiddush B'makam Seuda. Why does there have to be Kiddush B'makam Seuda according to all these Amoraim? So the Rashbam gave us two reasons why that should be. One, we're darshaning the Pesukim in the Navi Yeshayahu, Vikarasa L'Shabbos Oneg, Kriya is referring to Kiddush, Oneg is referring to the Seuda, and in the place that you're Kore, that's where you have the Oneg. Meaning it's a Drasha. The second reason that the Rashbam says why we have Kiddush B'makam Seuda, it's a Svara. Meaning since the Chachamim Institute that Kiddush made over a cup of wine, Mistama, it's the wine that we have in the course of the meal. It's a Svara. Okay, and there's Lamdus in the two reasons that are given the Rashbam, but we didn't go through the Lamdus. I touched on it, but we didn't go through it. Anyway, but there's much more to discuss over there. Good. The Gemara quoted the Shita Rav Yochanan on the bottom of the Amud Aleph, where Rav Yochanan says that not only is the Kiddush going to help you in terms of your Kiddush, it's also going to help you in terms of your giving you a pass of making a Berachas Hayayin when you get home. But the Gemara immediately knocks out the Shita of Rav Yochanan, meaning that when you're Shita Mishana Makom, you have to make a new Berachas Hayayin. And that now segues into the second half of today's daf. In the second half of today's daf, we talked about Shinui Makom. Shinui Makom, first the Gemara defines what Shinui Makom is when you go from bais to bais, when you go from one house to another house. But when you're Mimakom Lamakom Bais Echad, when you go from one house to another when you go from one location to another within the same house, so that is not considered Shinui Makom, that's not going to demand that you have to make a new bracha. Then on the Amud Beis, we were introduced to a basic machlokas between Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes, where you did experience Shinui Makom, but it depends on the kind of food that you ate. Where, according to Rav Chista, if I ate a significant food and I experienced Shinui Makom, so according to Rav Chista, there's no requirement to make a new bracha when you come back. Why? Because when you have a significant food, and the way the Rashbam explains it, it's any one of the Shivas Aminim, anything that demands either benching or the Bracha Achas Main Shalosh. So since the Halacha demands that you have to come back, so therefore, Lekiva Akama Hadar, the language that Rav Chista uses, the idea that you're still maintaining your original Kvias, and therefore you don't have to make a new Bracha. However, if you're having an insignificant food, meaning a food that does not require benching or an Alamechia, just a bori nefashos. So under those circumstances, when you have Shinui Makom, you do have to make a new bracha. Not perfectly clear. A new bracha Rishona and a new bracha Achrona? Presumably, yes, both. And certainly is what it sounds like from the Braisa. But again, that part is not perfectly clear. That's all the Shita of Rav Chista. Rav Sheshes, on the other hand, says no. Regardless of what you ate, any Shinui Makom that you experience, as long as it qualifies as a Shinui Makom, any Shinui Makom that you experience, you're going to have to make a new bracha. And it could even be bread. And you're still going to have to make a new bracha. And we ended off the daf today by quoting a braisa. The braisa says that if you have people staying back, so they're your anchor, and therefore you don't have to make a new bracha. But if everybody left the table, everyone left the house, in order to be masameh chas mekal, and they come back, you have to make a new bracha. And since the braisa uses the word oker raglehem, it sounds like we're talking about significant foods, and still you're going to have to make new brachas. And this braisa certainly is a support for Rav Sheshes. It's a difficulty for Rav Chista, and that's where we end off the daf today. And tomorrow, we pick it up with the defense of Rav Chista.